They had just put the finishing touches on the room set up when the others began to arrive. Earlier in the day, Jesus had sent the two of them, Peter and John, to prepare the borrowed space where they were going to have their Passover meal. Yeah, it was a day early, but they had learned over the last 3 years not to question Jesus when he was giving instructions. So Jesus had said, do this. And they had gone and done as they were told. There was no lamb because the lambs wouldn't be prepared until tomorrow, but they could still have a nice, quiet, somewhat Passover meal tonight. It was the first evening they had been in Jerusalem. They had spent the days there, but every evening this week they had gone back out to Bethany to stay the night. So there was anticipation, but also anxiety. The usually rambunctious crowd of disciples and followers was somewhat subdued as they entered this room, where conversation usually flowed freely. Thinking of things to talk about tonight seemed to be a struggle around the table. And it didn't help anyone's mood when Jesus, the host, used the word suffer. He told them how much he ached to share this meal with them. And that he wanted to do it before he suffered. Suffered what? How? What in the world was he talking about? And it didn't get any clearer when he said he wouldn't eat this meal again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus led the traditional toast that always took place at this point in the meal. This year in Jerusalem, next year the kingdom. Maybe Jesus was telling them that next year's Passover would see the full arrival of God's kingdom. Either way, Peter hoped that like other times, Jesus would explain this all to them later. What the disciples didn't know is that there would be no later, at least not in the way they would have thought about it. Life for all of them was just about to change drastically. This Passover meal was, in many ways, it was the calm before the storm, a last moment of sanity before the powers of this world had their way with Jesus. But none of them knew that when they were sitting at the table. None of them suspected how awful the next few hours would be. As far as any of them knew, this was just another, albeit unusual, Passover meal, something they'd shared together several times before. But then Jesus changed the script. Now, even though in the first century there wasn't really a set order or liturgy for the Passover meal like you would find in Jewish homes today, there were things that you included, and there were things that you had to say every time the meal took place. There was bread you ate, and there was wine you drank, and everything on the table, and including the lamb that was absent from this particular meal, but everything was symbolic. It all had a meaning. And so when Jesus changed the script, it's a big deal. He was taking something they knew, something they had celebrated all their lives, and infusing new meaning into it. He wanted this meal to point them to something different than it ever had. Passover had always been a meal of remembrance. It pointed back to the night when these people became a nation, when they became Israel. It was the night when God remembered them and rescued them from slavery in Egypt. You can read about it in Exodus if you want. It was a night that called them not only to recall what happened way back then, but to live today in a different way because of what had happened. When a Hebrew took part in a Passover meal, they were participating. They weren't just, you know, remembering or rehearsing a past event that happened thousands of years before. They became part of the people who had been rescued, who had been saved. When they ate the bread and when they drank the wine, they remembered, and that meal called them to live as if they were rescued and saved people. Now, you'll hopefully remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that to remember in the scriptures is not just to call something to mind. It's not relying on something you have memorized. To ask God in particular to remember you was to ask God to deliver you, to rescue you, to come to your aid in some way. All throughout the Bible, people ask God to remember them when they're in a situation that they can't get themselves out of. And when God remembers someone, he is about to send help to someone who's in desperate need. When it comes to Passover, it might even be better to compare what happens in that meal to muscle memory. Muscle memory, you know, is the way your body learns to do something that over time you do so well, that you do so often and so well that you don't even have to think about it. Like, for instance, typing. When I'm sitting at my keyboard, I don't have to think every time, now where is that A key? I'm trying to remember where it is. Oh, my body knows. My hands go right there. Muscle memory. It's the same reason you can go right to where certain apps are on your phone, right? Your body remembers where they were, and if you move them, you can't find them anymore. Your body remembers. Those things get down deep inside of you. That's what Passover was meant to be. It was a meal to help the people experience the way God remembered them, to be able to live as remembered people without even thinking about it. Redeemed, rescued, ransomed people. It was a meal that was meant to get the story way down deep inside them, to define them, and to make them into remembered sort of people. So when Jesus takes that bread that's on the table, unleavened bread, no doubt, and he prays over it, "Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth." And he breaks it, and he gives it to them, everyone around the table, and says, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembrance. What's he saying? Why is he talking about remembering when he's standing right there in front of them? Of course, what he has told them, but they still don't realize, is that by tomorrow, he won't be standing in front of them or with them. They will have to remember him. And so on one level, he's asking them to remember something that hasn't even happened yet. He's preparing them in this meal. He's preparing them for what is to come. But I think there's another level here, one that will be acted out again when Jesus talks with the rebel on the cross beside him tomorrow. If remembering is connected in Jewish thought with salvation and rescue and redemption, then Jesus is also telling them what he's about to do. He's telling them ahead of time what's going to happen next. That what will happen on the cross is about redemption and rescue. It's about hope and salvation. And it's our only hope of salvation from sin and death and despair. Even though it hasn't happened to them yet on this night, they're still to take the bread and remember and to trust God for their salvation. Jesus is saying, when you see the horror of the cross, believe that God is doing something there in Jesus to rescue you. And there's something else he says when he hands them the bread, which stands in for his body. He tells them who it's for. He says, "It is given for you." In other words, it's a gift. The culmination of Jesus' life was a gift he came to give. You know, when you're given a gift, whether that's for Christmas or for your birthday or even maybe for Easter, it's usually something someone has thought about with you in mind. It's something they've selected just for you, and they've taken the care and time to wrap it, to go get it first, and then to wrap it and to bring it to you, maybe even to write a note or a card explaining how the gift connects the two of you. Just for a moment, think about the best gift you've ever been given, about a time someone cared enough about you to give you something important or precious, something uniquely you. Think about that gift, and in light of that, hear Jesus' words again. "This is my body given for you." Jesus came to give that kind of gift, that precious, irreplaceable kind of gift. And the gift is himself. The gift is what he can do in and through us, and he still gives it every time we come to the table. "This is my body given for you." Not sure how you approach this night. When I was younger, there were three churches in my hometown, Methodist, Presbyterian, and Church of the Brethren. And we would come together and we would have joint Holy Week services every night of the week. And so by the time we got to Thursday night, I was just tired of going to church every night during the week. But when I got out on my own and began to take responsibility for my own faith, this night began to take on more significance. It's honestly just a patchwork of memories for me. Bread and juice and family and friends and light and shadows and joy and heartache. But most of all, gift, this bread, this cup, his body, his blood. It's all a gift given for you, given for me. You know, we sometimes use fancy words to describe what we do at this table. We most often here call it Holy Communion, which emphasizes being with Jesus in communion, in his presence. Other groups call it Eucharist, which is a Greek word that means giving thanks. We give thanks for what Christ has done for us. Others call it the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper. It was both and is both. But tonight, I want to just think of it as gift, the gift of hope, the gift of new life, of salvation and rescue from the only one who could do that. And it's given for you, for me, for every single person, from the giver of all good gifts. All throughout Lent, we've been looking at what we've called words to the cross, and there's one more word yet tomorrow night. These are words that various people spoke back to Jesus on the cross. But tonight I have a different sort of word for you, a word that we can speak to Jesus before the cross. There are a lot of ways we can respond as we receive the bread and the juice. But tonight I want to encourage you in response to his gift to come to this table tonight and say in your heart, or you can say it out loud, but say to Jesus, we remember and we are grateful. Remember this body given for you because it's a gift given for you. And so will you join me in prayer as we prepare to come gladly and gratefully to the table of the Lord? Let's pray.